What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, September 19th, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside former EIC of Fanbyte, now unemployed, Danielle Riando. Hello, Danielle.
Hi. I'm so happy to be here. I'm wearing my daddest vacation shirt, as I said in the pre-show. Really enjoying that fun employed life right now.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Well, you got to look for the silver lining. So if it means that you can wear a dad vacation shirt on a Monday morning, go for it, you know?
Yeah, which, you know, is not different from the rest of my life, to be honest with you. I always wear shit like this.
So, I was going
to
say, I've seen Imran Khan, and I don't think Fanbyte had a very, you know, important dress code, but I just wanted to make sure. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually really, I'm doing well. I'm, you know, I'm underemployed because I do have a secondary gig that I do, which is cool. I teach game design, which is a lot of fun. But I'm doing well. I'm honestly doing well, considering, you know, it's a bit of a weird week last week. I'm not going to lie, but.
Yeah, I don't know how, well, obviously, Fanbyte's your past. We don't have to get into it and do stuff. But basically, if people don't know, you were the EIC of Fanbyte, and then all of a sudden, the rug was pulled out from under you and just about everybody at Fanbyte last week, right?
Yeah, most of the staff, about 2/3 of the staff. I mean, we had like 25 at our peak last month, and then I think it's down to 7 now, maybe something like that, something somewhere around there. I can't talk specifics.
It was a bit weird,
not going to lie. But yeah, of course, the hire Fanbyte hashtag is going around on Twitter, so some really amazing folks are indeed looking for work right now. And of course, I'm just going to say you should hire them, everybody. Royal you. If you have jobs, you should hire these folks because they're great.
And if you need to see them, we have a whole bunch of them coming through, of course, from Funny Games Daily. All week long will be hosted by, some, I guess, five, including you, people who have been recently laid off from games media positions because it seems to be going around. It's like either you're getting COVID or laid off. And those are the two things that are getting passed around quite a bunch in the industry.
I was worried about both at the same time. I was kind of like, it'd be funny if I got my third round of COVID right now, too.
You've already had it twice.
And I'm an EMT and I've never gotten it from a patient. So that should tell you how stupid COVID is.
Yeah. That's upsetting.
Anyway,
you're still doing the EMT stuff, right?
Yeah. It was just on my ambulance on Friday night, actually. And I will say it was a good reminder of kind of how good I have it in my own life. So it was nice to get out there, do a little service in my neighborhood. I actually really enjoy riding on my ambulance as a volunteer. So.
Now, how long have you been doing that? Because I remember that was honestly one of my introductions to you. I've known you, obviously, via the internet for quite some time.
Yeah.
But then, at a PAX East, PAXomania, Dan Riker broke my ribs, or nearly broke my ribs.
Yep.
And when I was back there, Dan was like, oh, I'm sorry. You came over, you're like, I'm an EMT. Get out of the way, you idiot. Let me investigate if this man's hurt.
Yeah, I felt so terrible because that's one of the very few things we can do, nothing about, as an EMT. It's like, I can do a pillow splint, maybe, but that's not going to really do much. Most other broken bones, you can do a lot more for. You can splint them up really nice. You can kind of set the bone back a little bit. So I felt terrible. I was like, I'm so sorry, my friend. This is one of those things. It's like you need somebody with a lot more education than me.
It was just nice to have someone come over and check on me. You know what I mean? After, getting the kaiju stomping on me and then Dan jumping on me and then Kevin Coelho the rest of the day babying me as I cried around PAX East.
Oh my
so
God. Broken
but how long
are
you
so
been doing the EMT
painful.
Stuff?
Oh, yeah. God, of course. I first became an EMT in 2007 when I was in grad school because I was just like, I'm never going to get a job in film. I should do something useful. and then pivoted to video games. Doesn't really make sense. But I've been an EMT here in New York City for about 6.5 years now. So I volunteer. I go a few times a month. I don't get paid, but I love it. It's honestly really fun. It's a good way to just see another side of the city, help people out a little bit, do something very hands-on. You know, when you do games media, it doesn't always feel super hands-on. So this is like, oh, people are bleeding. I can try to stop that bleeding. Kind of nice.
And again, I think it gives you a bit of perspective, maybe. Yeah.
It really helps. I will say it really helped last week. So
we have lots of gaming news to cover. The one question I had before you, because obviously we're going to do a Patreon post show, we're going to talk all about you, your career, your history, and games and stuff like that. But
thank you.
The one question I have for you is at this moment, do you still want to do games media? You're talking about game design as a course. Okay, you're shaking your head. Yes. Yeah. You're still here. You're sticking around.
I want to do all kinds of stuff. Honestly, I've never had fewer than 3 jobs. This is the first time I've had fewer than 3 jobs in 13 years, I want to say. So always. I'm always going to write about games in whatever capacity. I'm always going to kind of try to make games. I'm working on a little game project right now with a couple of other ex-Fanbyte people, which is pretty exciting. And yeah, I love games, and I love what they are, and I love, you know, kind of breaking them down. So yes to all of it, basically.
Well, fantastic. Everybody, keep your eyes peeled. If you have a gaming site or something and you like what you see today, hit up Danielle. Where can people follow you, Danielle? That's always important.
Yeah, absolutely. Twitter's the best place. It's Danielle R.I., D-A-N-I-E-L-L-E-R-I, which both Danielle Riendo and Danielle Rhode Island. I'm a famous Rhode Islander. I'm not really famous, don't worry.
Like Rhode Island's a good poll.
Rhode Island.
That's a good poll. I like that as an easier way to explain what your name is. I appreciate
it
that.
It helps, right?
For now, let's explain that GTA 6 has possibly had the biggest video game leak of all time. Cyberpunk 2077 is having an impressive resurgence and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames lets you write in, get the show ad-free, get it with the exclusive post-show we do, and of course, get a bevy of other benefits for the Gamescast, Xcast, PS I Love You, XOXO. You can watch us record all of those shows live and ad-free and get the post show and yada yada yada. But if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can watch the show for free as we record it on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Over on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, people like the Smoking Butt Hut, Omar Reyes. I just see the first one and I do it. I'm sorry. Sometimes it's like that. And Royal Martin are all watching live. They have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we get wrong as we get it wrong, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching the on-demand version on youtube.com/kindafunnygames later. Roosterteeth.com and podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. If you want to go that extra mile, of course, use our epic creator code Kinda Funny when maybe you're playing that brand new season of Fortnite. If you buy anything or download something for free on the Epic Game Store, or if you input it on an Epic game like Rumbleverse on Xbox or PlayStation, we get a few bucks without costing you anything. Housekeeping for you. The first two episodes of Survive Block Island Meltdown are available right now on roosterteeth.com. That's Rooster Teeth's survival reality show taking place in Minecraft, featuring names like Meg Turney, Gavin Free, Michael Jones, and the one and only Blessing Adeoye Jr. Go cheer Bless on as he tries to survive in dire conditions. That's over on roosterteeth.com. Our latest House of the Dragon screencast is up right now on youtube.com/kindafunny. Do I pop in? Yes. Was I only awake for like 15 minutes of the show? Yes, I was. The Star Wars re-review of Rogue One has been postponed, so it will not be live later today on Patreon nor on YouTube tomorrow. As soon as we know a new date, we'll let you know a new time and place for it so we can talk about the beloved movie all together with Tim Barrett, Anthony Carboni, and Sage Ryan. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Fargo Brady. Today, we're brought to you by Shopify and MeUndies, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 6 items on the Roper Report.
A Baker's Dozen.
Number 1, the continuing saga of Grand Theft Auto 6. If you were under a rock all weekend, maybe offline, maybe you missed it, Grand Theft Auto 6 did in fact leak a whole bunch of footage from it, a whole bunch of information, and now we are dealing with the fallout as Rockstar and Take-Two, pretty litigious people, have taken to the internet to be like, yo, we're gonna fucking kill this guy. We join Ryan Dinsdale at IGN, who writes, Grand Theft Auto developer Rockstar Games has confirmed that the GTA 6 leaks that appeared online yesterday, September 18th, are real, but development will not be affected as a result. Rockstar published a statement to Twitter saying the, quote, early development footage was illegally taken from its systems following a network intrusion, and it's disappointed to have its new game shared for the first time this way. Quote, we recently suffered a network intrusion in which an unauthorized third party illegally accessed and downloaded confidential information from our systems, including early development footage for the next Grand Theft Auto, the statement reads. We are extremely disappointed to have any details of our next game shared with you in this way. Our work on the next Grand Theft Auto game will continue as planned, and we remain as committed as ever to delivering an experience to you, our players, that truly exceeds your expectations. We will update everyone again soon, and, of course, we'll properly introduce this next game to you when it's ready. We want to thank everyone for their ongoing support through this situation, end quote. Close to 100 different videos of the game were shared online anonymously, showing robberies, gunplay, fully voiced conversations, and more. The footage all but confirms the rumors that GTA 6 will feature male and female protagonists and a Vice City setting. Danielle?
Yeah.
What a shitty weekend.
I know. Oh my God, I know. And I even like tried not to be super into game news for this weekend. I was like, I need myself a little break.
Yeah.
And do other things, but I couldn't not see this too. Like at the same time, it was like everything was just like the discourse was talking about these leaks, of course.
So there was a lot of discourse. How much did you go into the aisle of forbidden fruit? How much did you watch the leaks? Did you get how were you in there just looking at everything, clicking on everything?
I did not. You pervert. I did not. I I wasn't a pervert for this. I mean, you know, don't worry, I'm a pervert for everything else.
Oh yeah,
like you know, I kind of like. Genuinely, my gut reaction was just feeling bad for like artists who are getting their work like shown in like not the best way. And obviously, game art jobs are super not easy. Animation jobs are super not easy. So it's kind of like, oh, that, you know, oh, buddies, you know. And I don't even know how big this team is at this point. If they're 9 years in the making at this point, how big is that team that's like working on all this stuff? So
of course,
that was my first gut reaction. Is just like, oh God, that sucks for them.
Yeah, and I think that's the big takeaway, right? Like, I see people in the live chat right now, like, oh my God, I don't want to hear. We're not going to talk about what the game was or the content of, even though, like, I mean, spoilers, like, we just read it and that's what it looked like. Hey, right. Here's an avatar committing crimes. It's Grand Theft Auto. It's like, all right, yeah. Like,
shocking.
I think that was, you know, it's one of those things where I've been lucky enough over my career to make a lot of friends with devs, and I'm not close friends with anybody who works at Rockstar. And so, like, when other leaks have happened, I always try to send a text like, hey, I know this sucks in the moment, but you need to understand how short everyone's memory is and how when you actually talk about this game, no one's going to care of like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And so it's really such a eye of the hurricane moment where it's like, oh my God, you feel it. You're in it. You're living it. It's obviously the biggest news story, but next week it won't be. And the week after that, even less than that. And then the next time a leak happens, somebody will probably mention the GTA 6 thing. But as Rockstar points out, like, when they get to where they actually want to announce it and they actually reveal it and they put up the logo and the countdown clock and the date, no one's going to be like, well, I've already seen it. I saw this a year and a half ago. Like, I mean, I don't know what I saw. I saw somebody running around shooting a gun. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. And it was like, they didn't have to wait long, which I know is like the next news item, but like, they didn't have to wait long for another leak to replace the big news, right?
I mean, no.
I wonder if they were like, whoo!
The next story, it's the other way around, I think, where the next story is that,
the other way around, okay.
The headline is, over 40 minutes of Diablo 4 gameplay has seemingly been leaked. This is Chris Scullion at VGC. We'll read about that. I'm sure they're like, oh my God, the perfect time. If you wanted to have any other game leak right now, GTA will be the one everyone is talking about. No offense to Diablo. Diablo's going to be huge, and hopefully it's great, and yada yada, but it's like, big deal. Okay. Nobody's hung up on that. They're hung up on GTA. And again, for both of these, that's what it comes back to, is feeling bad for the developers, I think.
Yeah.
Because like, what is the tangible news item excitement to get out of this, of unfinished work, early development work, stuff that's behind, you know, not where it should be. Of course, the source code, right, for GTA 5 leaked as well, or was shared or whatever. Like, it's just all around, like, this is a shitty situation in like an annoying way to do this and announce a game. Because I assume you're watching this. God, no, I was going to say you're probably old enough, but you might not be old enough to remember the announcement of GTA 5, which was so like pomp, circumstance. Here's a video. This is the thing. The narrated walkthroughs and yada, yada, yada. Because GTA 5 has been out for so long at this point.
Nine plus years at this point.
Isn't that ridiculous? Isn't that ridiculous?
I can't even believe that. I'm kind of like, oh, yeah, I remember when like Grand Theft Auto was out on the PlayStation. It was like a cool thing that I've read about in EGM or something. Yeah. You know, it was one of those.
Oh yeah, I was talking about it. Like I was a big GTA 2 fan on PS1. And so when my EGM arrived that had the first screenshots of Grand Theft Auto 3, and I read it, and I remember reading it, and I was like, this is witchcraft. How are they going to give a third-person game that has all the freedom of the game I play from a top-down 2D perspective?
A sandbox game, which now is almost in vogue again. But like at the time,
every game is sandbox.
Open world wasn't a thing at the time. It was so
exactly
wild.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
They're trying to get rid of us. We won't let them get rid of us in this industry. We're hanging out like a barnacle. But yeah, that's the whole thing of it, right? Where it was like, okay, and it's, you know, it's, I don't know. It's just the fact that it's such a big game and it is so much of it that leaked, right? Where it's like, even for a GTA 6 and this much of a leak, I guess this, I'm backloading the question. Danielle, is this the biggest video game leak of all time, you think?
Oh God. Maybe. It's hard to top Halo 2, right? What happened with like Halo 2? Because wasn't that like most of the game? If I'm remembering correctly, like,
I was an Xbox fan at the time.
70 plus percent of that game like leaked not too long before the game came out. So that one's like what I think of as like the gold standard for like just so much stuff kind of came out of it. But
see, and that's why I love the question, right? Because it is, what is it, what does it mean to you? What is the biggest video game league? Because for me, my knee-jerk reaction, if you were to ask me before this, I would have said, oh, Last of Us Part Two. But Last of Us Part Two was all cutscenes, right? And granted, it gave away the story of the game if you really wanted to investigate and yada, yada, yada. But it wasn't the gameplay and what you were doing moment to moment. And then in a very different but similar category, I would think it was, you could make an argument for Activision's deal with Bungie and what would become Destiny. Because I remember when that leaked and it was just like, it was all the contractual stuff, but it was that they're making this shooter. It's going to go on forever. Here's the plan. I'm so rusty on it now, but it's 10-year plan and this, that, and the other. And
that was like, huge. Yeah. Of course.
And so, as you did, but then it's that thing to come back to, like GTA, which I would say is inarguable, even though I know people can make the argument, but GTA, like the biggest video game, right? Call of Duty, every year, of course, yada, yada, yada. But again, GTA 5 was 9 years ago. It was two generations ago. And still GTA 5 will pop into the NPD and be on these lists of what it's doing. And granted, it's Grand Theft Auto Online, yada, yada, yada. But even still, when GTA 5 launched, I remember it, a $1 billion in 24 hours? And this is the biggest entertainment launch in history. And yada, yada. Like, the world's going to stop when GTA 6 comes out again. So it's like,
it will. Yeah.
The fact that that game is the one that leaked, that so much of it came out, it's interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think a case could be made for this one. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Bear, are you making the case for this? Where would you put it?
It's a big one for sure. You know, Rockstar is one that we'd never really think of like, being super open.
And that's other thing.
Yeah.
Rockstar was such a great muzzle on everybody. I mean, in like the horrible sense, even maybe it is horrible and it was bad for a while, but they say they've gotten better, yada, yada, yada. But like, Rockstar is the company that like is the black fucking hole. The reason I don't have any friends that work at Rockstar is the people who work at Rockstar don't talk about working at Rockstar ever. They never talk about it. Rockstar wants them all
they
to
don't
be
know,
faceless.
They know they're cool, you know? They don't need to talk about it and brag about it, you know? Chat's been saying the NVIDIA leak, but like, is that a meme at this point? Because I feel like the NVIDIA leak, Andy always references it when talking about Bloodborne or whatever.
But it's like, that instance of it, yes, is a meme. That's Andy memeing, but then every other fucking game that comes true from the NVIDIA link, and then it's like, well, arguably, well, obviously that game was going to be announced or that was going to become a thing. It's like, yeah, but like, that is a good one too. That is a good one.
Yeah.
I think Batman Arkham Knight stuff leaked too before the game had come out.
That's ringing a bell. Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Remember when Kevin Conroy got baited into saying he was another Batman game?
Well, I think like specifically the Arkham Knight reveal of who that character is was leaked alongside the Joker aspect of that game as well.
I vaguely
remember seeing that stuff get spoiled for me before I got to play it, which I remember being that was the last game I ever went to a quote unquote midnight release for. It was like 9 p.m. But
remember those?
Oh, my God. I did that for Fallout 4.
Oh, hell yeah. Great game.
When was my last midnight release? Jeez.
I think Arkham Knight was probably mine.
Yeah. I mean, they're not too wildly.
And then also, roughly around that same time, Mad Max. And I was the only person who bought Mad Max on the day that, Metal Gear Solid 5 came out.
Yep.
You hear from Metal Gear? No, man, Mad Max.
It's cool as hell. The car combat in that game, sick as hell.
It was
Game of the Millennium,
I
think, right? Wasn't that what we declared it at one point?
I think so.
This is not at all related to that, but it kind of is. Of just like, I remember it's like when the Weezer Green album dropped after like so many years off from Pinkerton. I went to the Tower Records for the midnight release and everybody else was there for something else. I forget what it was. It was some other like band that more people obviously loved. But like, and I'm like, oh, you're here. I'm like, no, guys, Weezer. I'm like, oh, sure. Here you go, you weirdo. Go home.
Like, we've got 400 copies back here.
Oh, yeah, that's no problem. We would have mailed it to you. We'll give it to you for free. Thanks for coming in. Let's move on to this Diablo. Let's get the Diablo stuff in here. Over 40 minutes of Diablo 4 game. This is number two on the report. More than 40 minutes of Diablo 4 gameplay has seemingly been leaked. This is Chris Scullion at VGC. More than 40 minutes of Diablo 4 footage has been seemingly shared online. As spotted and shared by Reddit user iVirus0, the footage consists of two clips, one lasting 5 minutes and the other lasting 38 minutes. It's not yet clear who leaked the footage and why it was shared, but a discussion, which can be heard in the shorter video, implies that whoever recorded the footage wasn't the person playing the game. Instead, it appears that the player was streaming their footage online, likely via Discord, and others are viewing it. The video contains numerous watermarks that say private test build, along with an ID number, which likely makes it easier for Blizzard to identify who streamed the footage and take action accordingly. You are dead to right, sir. While it's not clear how the person obtained access to the game, one theory being shared is that it may be related to the Friends and Family Alpha Test, which has been ongoing since last month. As such, the streamer may be related to a Blizzard employee. What's clear, however, is that the footage now being leaked was recorded by someone else who was not watching. The shorter video starts. One person, whose voice is distorted, can be heard saying to another, "Are you watching Sky right now? Watch Sky right now." Why are we watching Sky? What is he playing? Asks the second person, who then realizes that what's being streamed. "This is not Diablo 4, they say in apparent disbelief. "It is," the person replies. As the footage continues to play, it becomes apparent that the people watching the video don't know the streamer. One viewer asks, "Who is this person?" While another replies, "I don't know, but I've been watching for a while." Quote, so was this coordinated, or did he just hop in there and start streaming this? Asks one viewer. "Just hopped in," replies another. That's awesome. Like, it's one of those things, again, right there with everything we said about the GTA devs, copy paste apply to this of like,
yeah,
it sucks. But then this is a hilarious interaction of like, let's go, like the play-by-play by Chris Scully. And I'm just like, it's here's really these good kids. Like, what are we watching? Is this Diablo 4? Amazing.
It's like a screenplay. It's like setting the scene and like one kid, oh my God, watch Sky. Who's Sky? I don't know who Sky is. We're watching Sky. It's like, this is
amazing. Yeah. This is also like, I'll be interested if we ever hear what really happened and why this, how this got out the way it got out there. Cause it is that thing of whenever we do private demos for something, and Daniel, when you do private demos, like it's always watermarked to hell of Greg Kinda Funny. Like it's all over the place on what it is. And so, yeah, for this to have just the ID on there, yeah, you would assume it is going to be something related to that. But then, yeah, where were they sharing it to that it then got picked up and pushed everywhere?
Right. Like I would love if like somebody's grandmother was the friend and family. And it was
sure,
like,
no idea what they're doing.
You know, little Nikki, her grandson, decided to stream it or something. I know that's not how it actually works, but in my head canon, this is how it all went.
That's
down,
more entertaining than what probably happened. You know what I mean? Of like somebody sharing, they're discording it to a friend, you assume, who then they start. No, I guess you can't do that. Maybe, I don't know how you did it. And they can have it through Discord. Unless maybe it was like a test Twitch stream too, to a, and you know how you do those to like a dummy account maybe? To just
Yeah. Something like that.
We'll have to wait and see. I don't know.
I like Grandma and Little Nikki. But yeah.
Grandma and Little Nikki, that's just what we're going to do. Grandma was in the Friends and Family. Little Nikki came into play and he just started Discord and streaming away on it. So there you go.
That's it.
Number three. So, you say Little Nicky, and I think of when Nick Scarpino from Kinda Funny tells all these stories about his grandma. And like, no, I don't.
I think about grandma, the Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah,
I was thinking the Adam Sandler movie too.
Well, it's that problem where Nick has just infiltrated my memory banks with all his like stories. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's good.
Him and his Pisha leak. I don't want to talk about it. I mean, number three on the rope. No, better than Little Nicky? I doubt it. Number three, Cyberpunk 2077 player counts are skyrocketing. This is Paul Tassi over at Forbes. An anime series, a patch, and a sale. All three of these things have combined to give Cyberpunk 2077 a new lease on life nearly 2 years after its release in December 2020. While once upon a time, it broke concurrent player count records on Steam, that faded quickly as players either ditched the game for not being what they wanted at launch or beat it and moved on. But now, Cyberpunk 2077 seems to be having its No Man's Sky moment, where enough has been fixed and added to the game to convince people to return to it or hop into it for the first time. The incredibly well-received Netflix anime series, Cyberpunk Edgerunners, has inspired some people to return on its own, and Cyberpunk released a patch at the same time that included some small Edgerunners content, but also long-requested quality-of-life features like transmog and the game's first truly new quests since launch. Combine that with a 50% off sale, and here we are. A month ago, Cyberpunk 2077 had around 15,000 concurrent players during its weekly highs. This weekend, Sunday brought 85,000 players, and the game may not be done yet as things are rising today on Monday. That's about a 550% increase in a month's time on Steam. In the wake of Edgerunners being hit, CDPR has reinforced their commitment to the Cyberpunk IP, but whether that means Edgerunner Season 2, Cyberpunk 2078, or other multimedia projects, that has not been made clear yet. Danielle, whenever somebody shows up, I like to hear their history with Cyberpunk 2077. Into what camp do you fall for this open RPG, open world RPG?
I've never played it, but I will tell you that one of my fondest E3 memories of all time was going to the E3 where it was announced and seeing Austin Walker like have a religious experience watching that, just that first like reveal for it. And like just his joy was so infectious. Obviously, sure. A million things happened. Many things happened down the road. Many, 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 many things have happened down the road. And
including other
E3s
that left us all slack jaw. Like, how is this a real game? Yeah, it wasn't. Like, oh, fuck.
It wasn't. Or maybe it is now. Maybe it is now. Yeah, like, that's the wild thing, right? Yeah. I've never played it, but I'm tempted now. And also, like, a couple of the last pieces I edited in my former job were about this, about the anime being amazing, about the game being secretly great again, and now it's like actually bearing out in terms of players, which is honestly kind of exciting. You know, this is another one where I've always felt like, oh, they bit off so much more than they could chew, but sure. I also like interesting, weird, kind of fucked up games. Like, I kind of like when things are like, hey, you bit off more than you could chew, but like, going for something, man, and that's admirable in some sense. So I'm kind of happy about this. Like, I'm kind of smiling on this, even though I'm not, like, an ardent player of the game or anything.
For sure. You know, I'm smiling on it as well. And I think that comes from the place that you never want to see a video game or a developer fail, right? Yes. You don't want to see them falling. And you don't want to see the audience spend their $60-$70 on something and be upset and not get what they deserve, right? And so for all the public lashings Cyberpunk has taken and CD Projekt Red as a developer have taken, right? Or in CD Projekt in general. Like,
yeah,
that's all warranted, obviously, from the at the top of like, all right, you know, you hit stuff, you failed stuff, you didn't have a unit of last gen in order. But you do have devs who worked incredibly hard and worked incredibly long days and nights for it. And so to get it to a point where people can sit there and be like, all right, cool, I'm having fun with this, I'm playing it, and I'm not mad about it, is great. And, you know, I played it at launch and I platinumed it and I had a great time with it. But it's one of those that I, oh, who's this?
So did she. She platinumed. No, I'm just kidding. This is Finn.
Hey, Finn.
She is perfect, but I am going to try to get her to go over there.
No, I love it. Audio listeners, a catch just invade.
She'll come back. Don't worry.
She'll be back in greater numbers. No, it's the thing. I enjoyed it for what it was, but it's one of those that was fleeting and was done for me. And that's fine. I don't need, not every game needs it, but you know how much pressure was on this. You know how much people wanted this to be that thing. And so now to be so far removed from it. And for me, it's the promise of the DLC they have coming, like the big expansion. Where I'm like, okay, cool. Like, do I want to play that again? Will I play that again? It's neat to see people here having fun with it, jumping in, picking it back up, seeing what the fixes are and where they've gone with it. Like, that's rad. Yeah. And again, like, I want people to have that. I want there to be that experience for people.
Yeah, and the No Man's Sky sort of pull there is perfect, too. I actually just got into No Man's Sky. Like, I played it at launch, played like 30-something hours, and just kind of fell off of it. Oh, there's Finn again. No Man's Finn right here. but yeah, like, just got super into it again like a couple of weeks ago, and I'm kind of like, I love when this happens. I love when devs can like get the chance to fix things and actually.
I mean, No Man's Sky is such an incredible story, and to see people be able to replicate that, and again, Cyberpunk do that, a game that meant so much to people and does have so much going for it. For me, I think it's not outrageous. I understand video game development's hard, but the fact that we just got, oh God, this cat's amazing. We just got Transmog in it. Because that was such a thing for me of like, I was playing that game and overpowered and amazing, and I look like trash. Because I'm just like, I look like I ran through a Goodwill, like all, you know, all covered in sticky tape. Like, I'm just like, whatever the stats are.
Midnight City's Goodwill, you know, like, you do what you can there.
I'm just trying to get out of, just trying to survive. So good for them. All right. Good. And I hope, do you think you'll ever play it? Do you think you'll come play it this summer?
Okay. Oh, yeah, especially now that I have a little extra time.
Now's your time. Now's the time for
Cyberpunk, you know?
Excellent. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, now's the time for me to remind you about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the post show, and you can get all these benefits for everything else we do on Kind of Funny. Of course, though, you're not there right now. So here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by MeUndies. We've all heard of gut instinct, but have you ever heard of butt instinct? It's when your butt tells you it wants new undies. Listen to your butt. Luckily, we work with MeUndies, makers of the most buttery, soft, and sustainable undies, bralettes, and socks that exist. You know that I have lived my life MeUndies head to toe for the majority of the last couple years. I'm just all in on MeUndies because they are absolutely the most comfortable clothes I've ever put on my body. Available in sizes extra small to 4XL. They have new colors and prints dropping weekly, so there's always something exciting to check out. You can try their free-to-join membership for free shipping on every order and exclusive perks. perks like an item shipped to your door every month, secret sales, and early access to their newest stuff. MeUndies has a great offer for you guys out there. For any first-time purchasers, you get 20% off plus free shipping and returns. To get 20% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Shopify for sponsoring this episode. Shopify powers our very own kindoffunny.com/store, our merch store. And we love how Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed from down the street to around the globe. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business, so upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere. Shopify unlocks the opportunity of your business to more people every day, every 28 seconds. An entrepreneur like you makes the first sale on Shopify. Shopify powers millions of businesses from first sale to full scale. You can reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps. It's more than a store. Shopify grows with you. You can go to shopify.com/kfgames, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/kfgames right now. That's shopify.com/kfgames, all lowercase.
Hello, everyone. As you know, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. We run you through the nerdy news you need to care about, and sometimes it breaks as we're recording. So I'm trying right now to get to the bottom of this. But Tom Henderson, reliable leaker who does all sorts of stuff and works at a million different sites, had tweeted earlier this morning, "I'm super excited to announce a new gaming publication, Insider Gaming. See you on the inside. Huge scoop in 20 minutes. And then it was that he was quote tweeting the "see you on the inside" Insider Gaming, insider-gaming.com. Then he followed up to his own tweet with a Denzel Washington gift of him slapping on the table or whatever. And it says, "Y'all broke the site." Now, what's interesting about the broken site is I've loaded the front page, and it's the top story is Sony to launch new PlayStation 5 with a detachable disc drive, sources suggest. I have now loaded the it was very slow. I have now loaded the article. So now let's join Tom Henderson in progress with Sony to launch new PlayStation 5 with detachable disc drive, sources suggest. The PlayStation 5 is set to get a unique overhaul in the middle of fiscal year 2023, with the new console launching around September 2024, sources say. Sources familiar with Sony's plans have shared details under the condition of anonymity, outlining the next iteration of the PlayStation 5. It's been suggested that this new console will completely replace the A, B, and C chassis that have been in production since the console's launch. The console, currently named the D chassis, PlayStation 5, will have almost identical hardware to the existing consoles already on the market. The most surprising new feature of the new PlayStation 5, though, typo, is that the console will have a detachable disc drive. The detachable disc drive will be connected to the PlayStation 5 using an extra USB-C port on the back of the console. It's understood that this new PlayStation 5 console will be sold on its own or in a bundle with a detachable disc drive. It's also understood that the disc drives can be purchased separately, so if that gets busted, there's no need to buy an entirely new console. Sources have implied that although the new detachable disc drive is portable, it will not ruin the aesthetics of the console and will attach to it without looking external, presumably meaning the new PlayStation 5 will look similar to the existing model. However, the new detachable disc drive could entail that the new iteration of the PlayStation 5 will be slimmer and lighter, which is something PlayStation has been trying to implement effectively with the latest PS5 models. It's understood that Sony is anticipating producing 18.5 million units of the PlayStation 5 console in fiscal year 2023 and only 12 million units of the A-C chassis consoles as they begin to get phased out. The final paragraph, I don't think, is Sony Interactive has reported that as of June 2020, the company has shipped over 21.7 million PlayStation 5 consoles. If these production figures are to be believed, it suggests that the company is expecting a significant ramp up in the next couple of years as hardware components start to become more readily available. Rumors and speculation, take them with a grain of salt. Congrats on the new site, Tom. Danielle, do you care about a PlayStation 5 with a detachable disc drive?
I care for people with bad internet. I care for like people in rural areas that have like crappy internet or just don't have many options for internet. And they still like a lot of folks in those situations still like to buy discs, of course. So I care about that. I also still cannot get a PlayStation 5 to save my life. I've been trying for like a year and a half. Also, my girlfriend stole my PlayStation. So she has it at her house. She has my PS4. So like I really need
no PlayStation in your house?
I have no PlayStation in my house right now.
That's
it's
no way
my
to
girlfriend's
live.
House.
That's no way to live. That's,
you know, it's
like
very upsetting.
It sounds upsetting. I mean, I couldn't live that way, you know? Do you have your Vita at least still? You still got your Vita? Your remote playing the PlayStation 4?
No one's got the Vita anymore, Greg. Come
oh,
on.
No, the Vita.
The Verge published an article over the weekend saying this is the time for the PlayStation Vita.
Really?
I mean, it is, because nobody can get the PS5.
Well, you know, it's the time for the Vita during, you know, the Switch and the Steam Deck. Yeah. Now's the time for the Vita.
Deck ball.
It's time for the Vita to die again.
Oh, the Vita. I actually love the Vita. I'm not going to lie. I thought it was pretty great. So,
it was a great
thing. You know. But yeah, I can't help but think, like, okay, so it won't make it look, you know, weird. It's like, are they going to ship with, like, a hidden compartment where it plugs in and then it, like, kind of, like, hides in a little hidden compartment?
It's gotta
like,
be like,
the disc?
It's got to, like, you figure, like, how the, when you put the PlayStation horizontal, PlayStation 5 horizontal, and it kind of has those, like, plastic clips. I assume it would have, this drive would have plastic clips that clip on it there in the front.
It'll kind of
it like
just
that.
Hangs on to that a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
It's one of those that I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
that I'm doubting Tom's reporting or sources. I'll believe it when I see it. And then what am I looking at here? I'm looking at a PlayStation 4 Pro and a PlayStation VR unit.
I just, I imagine,
oh, that's what you,
I imagine in my
this
head.
Is it.
Yeah. That the portable disc drive is just a mini PS5 next to a
oh,
big
it's
PS5.
A little buddy. Yeah, it's just like its little buddy on the side.
See, hold on, Barrett. I'm going to send... I got to find the so ugliest image existible. Because for me, what I'm jumping to is like... Yeah, well, this isn't that great, I guess. Hold on. I'm trying to find an action. Nobody actually used these things, right? Here we go. Here we go. What do you... I'm old, obviously. Hold on. Copy...
Yeah, you are.
Link address... No, open Same. In... Oh, copy image address. Barrett, I'm tossing this to you on Slack. Daniel, you're old. Barrett, you probably were in kindergarten when this happened. You remember when the Xbox 360 was like, you know what's really going to take off? HD DVD. So we'll make an HD DVD player that's totally detachable.
I remember this, but this was too rich for my blood. You know, I got the 360 and I was happy with it and I liked it. I didn't get any cool peripherals with it.
Well, again, this wasn't a cool peripheral. I don't think you missed much on it.
Yeah,
I just remember them. Them trying to take this thing and make this into a real action item of like, well, yeah, okay, sure, the PlayStation 3 can play Blu-rays, but HD DVD is where it's going to be at.
DVD.
So here's this one. Yeah, yeah, that didn't work out that way. And so that's what I envision when they say detachable disk drive, which I think is ugly, sinful, but perhaps, again, if it would lower the price point on it or something to that effect or give you an option when you buy it if you wanted to, because I have heard... No, I've actually heard it the other way, haven't I? Granted, I'm hanging out with gaming peers, gaming press peers, who usually are like, you know, on the coasts with these coastal elites. But usually it's, I bought it with a disc drive and I've never used it. I've never put anything in the disc drive. But
sure.
I assume for those 4K Blu-rays, if you could have it, if you bought a digital and you had a Blu-ray collection, why not do it that way?
Yeah, that makes sense. And also, yeah, I don't know. Listen, some of us have huge collections of games that are physical and we got to do something with them. It would be nice to just put a disc in and spin it sometimes, you know?
Just let it go. Embrace
For
the digital
time's
future.
Sake.
It's really fun. It's fun being in the digital future because they will give you your old games and then they'll take them away periodically. And then they'll give them back to you real quick as a treat. And you're like, oh, this is back. That's neat. Right, Barrett? You love PlayStation Plus.
Fucking Christ, Greg. Don't get me started.
We won't. We'll move on to number four. We'll move on to number four on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen. Ron Gilbert's baby is out into the wild. Return to Monkey Island is getting its reviews and is doing quite well. We have the roundup for you. Right now, Return to Monkey Island has an 89 on Metacritic, an open critic of 90. Ryan McCaffrey, a young upstart reporter at IGN, writes in his 9 out of 10 review, Return to Monkey Island expectedly comes packed full of smartly crafted puzzles, funny dialogue, and memorable characters. But as series creator Ron Gilbert returns to the series director chair for the first time since 1991, it unexpectedly offers a lot of heart, too. It is an adventure gamer's delight. Josh West at Games Radar gave it a 4.5 out of 5, said, Return to Monkey Island is a heartfelt and nostalgic return to a point-and-click adventure series that had long been left behind. It's fun, smart, and intuitive, with a story and presentation that is surprisingly self-aware. Whether this is your first brush with Guybrush Fleetwood, Return to Monkey Island as a swashbuckling adventure you won't want to miss. And then Alice Bell at Rock Paper Shotgun has an unscored review that reads, Return to Monkey Island might be playing the entire nostalgia hand, never mind the card, but it's also a very good modern point-and-click game that makes a perfect new entry to a beloved old series. Danielle, did you ever care about Return to Monkey Island?
Yes. I love adventure games. I didn't really have a PC growing up, so it was like something I came to a little later in life. And like, actually, I think I played it on the PlayStation at some point when they did the remasters, and there were multiple kind of remasters. Love adventure games. I'm a big dork for point and click adventure games, so I'm very excited to get my hands on this. Actually, probably gonna play it with the girlfriend. You know, it's like a good one to play with.
Well, your PlayStation's stranded over there, so that's where you gotta go.
While she holds it hostage. Exactly.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's a great way to make sure you come over. You know what I mean? It's a great way to get you. You
want to play the games? Here.
Come on over. Let's get over, you know?
Yeah.
Do you have expectations for this then? Like, you're new to the series, so I guess you got a whole bunch at once, or could have gotten a whole bunch at once. What do you want out of a return to Monkey Island?
Oh, God. Really, really, for me, it comes down to like, just do the puzzles make me happy? Because I know I'm pretty confident in the writing and the jokes and the sort of the visual style in all of the parts that are like, you know, that you can kind of see from afar. But for me, really, it's just like, are these going to be like clever, fun little puzzles that'll like tickle my brain and make my brain happy? And if so, I'm going to be having a great time. So, yeah.
Well, good. Get out there and enjoy yourself. For me, like, I worry. Like, yeah. I'm going to go read the reviews all the way through, maybe watch some stuff. Because for me, point-and-click adventure games, I always found maddening. And I'm talking, like, when me and Poe would be sitting there playing Full Throttle on my PC. And, like, I'd be like, what does it want us to do? Advance, you know what I mean? Like, it's Friday night, we have to go to bed soon. Like, he's got to go home. It's not a sleepover. What's happening? Like, it was always that kind of vibe to it. And that's, like, for me, I became a huge Telltale fan with The Walking Dead and them changing, you know, we're no longer point and click. We're just adventure. We're just a walking sim. We're just going to go through and the story evolves around you. I was like, I fucking love this. This is amazing. And so when like, even like the re-releases of stuff like Grim Fandango or whatever, I was like, Tim Schafer, I love you with all my heart. Broken Age, God bless you. Like, this ain't what I want to be doing. I don't want to be doing this. Have a good day, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That's super fair. I'm such a dork for like this kind of logic, for logic that makes no fucking sense, really, which is like what point and click adventure games are.
It's talking about it being, Josh talks about it being fun, smart, and intuitive. So I'm like,
that's good.
I don't mind it being a puzzle that like clearly I need to put a wheel on the door to open it or whatever, but like, it's, and if I got to find the wheel, got it. I can do that. But it's, when you know, how do you get this piece of chewing?
You don't want to
turn on the light.
You don't want to stamp holes into a deck of cards playing in Grim Fandango to be able to like use an elevator at some point, Greg.
No,
I love Grim Fandango. What a fucking fantastic video game.
Fun. Correct me if I'm wrong, Barry. You have the platinum in Grim Fandango, don't you?
I do.
That was no joke.
Where there's a trophy specifically that I think it's called Tim Schafer made us put this in, where you have to play the game in tank controls. So I went, I had a couple of conversations that I was missing, and I had that trophy, so I replayed the game entirely in tank controls and got those last couple conversations. Platted, baby.
Wow.
What a monster.
It's impressive. Impressive.
Not you, Tim Schafer, to make you do that. You know.
No. You're a monster for, you know, playing Platy Bird over and over again to get a million platinums.
First off, I played 6 different versions of Platy Bird 2 times to get a dozen platinum trophies. It's not nearly as bad as you make it sound. It was a fun time. Who didn't love that? It was great. Only cost me $14. We'll talk about PS I Love You. Don't worry about it. For now, number 5 on the Roper Report, Fortnite's new season adds Spider-Gwen and Goopy Chrome. This is Andrew Webster at The Verge. A new season of Fortnite is upon us, and it's dripping with Chrome. Today sees the launch of Chapter 3, Season 4 for the Battle Royale game, dubbed Paradise. And the big change this time around is a mysterious new substance. It's called Chrome, and it appears to be able to change just about everything it touches. You can splash it on walls to go right through them, or splash it on yourself for temporary fire immunity and moving and faster sprinting. Other additions this season include new locations like a floating condo and other points of interest that have, naturally, been infested with Chrome. Sniper rifles have received a big buff, increasing both damage and headshot multipliers. There's also a new kind of vault, which can be opened by finding various keys located across the island, giving players access to high-level loot. And a new season means a new battle pass with lots of characters to unlock. Highlighting this season's battle pass is Spider-Gwen, and players who purchase the pass will immediately get access to a new skin called Paradigm. Danielle, do you care at all about Fortnite?
I do. I also started playing Fortnite this summer. It was like a real thing. I started playing more games as a service games over the summer, which was pretty fun, actually. I discovered that Fortnite is like super chill and super fun to play. I'm playing it on the Switch, so like I do not care about high performance kind of stuff. I
sure, just
was having a great ass time, you know, doing the Indiana Jones stuff, for example, and, you know, kind of running around and having fun. So I'm actually pretty excited about this. Although I did wish, and maybe they'll still do this, I, you know, the nerd level is going to be really high on this one, but if you're going to call it Paradise, like, I want some Divine Comedy jokes in here. Like, get me some of that.
Wow,
that's
okay.
Some of what I would like in some quest designs. Listen, even if it's like one really ridiculous little reference, I will be so happy.
Maybe it'll be in there, yeah. Maybe it'll, you know, don't count them out. Yeah, they are nerds over there, Donald Mustard, you know what I mean? Like, you know? There's a chance you get that. There's a chance I get that. That was a high level of nerdness I was not expecting.
It was maybe the highest level.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's, I am not obsessed with Fortnite like Joey and Kevin on Kinda Funny's roster. Barrett, I know, Barrett, for the, Barrett, if you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the best Fortnite players on staff, if not the best. I don't know if you're obsessed, though, Barrett. Are you playing a lot anymore? I don't know where you're at.
It's an on-again, off-again relationship. Okay. Right now, I'm on-again with Splatoon, not Fortnite.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, yeah, that, see, for me, Fortnite, I'm on and off with all the time, where if they're playing and they want to play, sure, I'll jump in and do it, but I'm not obsessed with it. Like, I still, the best season of Fortnite was, for me, the Marvel season, where everything was Marvel. Yeah. That was amazing. I didn't play enough of it, if I'm being honest, because I was obsessed with Avengers at the same time. They both came out at the same time. So it's like I missed my window to really be obsessed.
You missed
your
window to play a good Avengers game.
It's not wrong. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? In the grand sense, we all know Avengers is good. You know what I mean? But is it great? We'll find out tomorrow, of course. Don't forget. We have breaking news for you on that, too. Marvel's Avengers tweets, the Scientist Supreme is growing desperate. The Avengers have forced her hand. A new elite villain sector, No Rest for the Wicked, launches tomorrow. So everybody gets stoked about that.
Whoa.
Everybody gets stoked about that. No big deal. No big deal. It'll be a lot of fun. But good. I'm glad you came to Fortnite, because, yeah, I usually go through the cycles with Fortnite where I'll play it really hard for a month or whatever and then fall off for a year, something like that, come back for new seasons. But I need to look at the battle pass here again as a Marvel fan and a Spider-Gwen fan. That's exciting. Yeah. But she would definitely fall into the camp of, I got this skin and I'm never gonna wear it, because it just doesn't make sense to me to have Spider-Gwen running around with a gun. Captain America with a gun, that's why he's my main. It makes sense. Go do it.
Sure, this makes sense. This makes sense.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Listen, that. I'm the one who wants a wild 16th century literary reference in Fortnite, so I am not one to judge, you know, at all.
Goddamn right. Don't judge me. You don't even have a PlayStation in your house. I don't have to listen to you.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Number six on the Roper Report. The Pokemon Company denies claims that it has issues with Nuzlocke runs. This is Chris Scullion over at VGC. The Pokemon Company has denied claims that it has an issue with content creators performing Nuzlocke runs of its games. What the hell is
Nuzzle.
This?
Yeah. This is the best story this week by far.
Okay, like, amid allegations that it had previously removed creators from its content program for doing so. It was recently claimed by Kit Ellis and Krista Yang, friends of the show, the previous co-hosts of the official Nintendo YouTube show Nintendo Minute, that the Pokemon Company was strongly against their suggestion that they do a Nuzlocke run. The Nuzlocke run is a playthrough of the game that can have numerous rules, but the main two are a permadeath rule, if a Pokemon faints, it must be released, and a rule that players can only catch the first wild Pokemon they encounter in each area, no others. However, Ellis and Yang claim that they were told such rules were as frowned upon as ROM hacking, something the Pokemon Company has now denied. In a statement made to Serebii site owner Joe Merrick, the Pokemon Company International said, quote, "We do not have any rules with fans/creators playing the game with Nuzlocke rules." As part of a viewer Q&A in a YouTube video posted last week, Ellis and Yang were asked if they ever tried a Nuzlocke run of the game. Quote, "We thought this would be a great idea for a Nintendo Minute video," Ellis said. "So we pitched to the Pokemon Company saying, hey, we would like to do a Nuzlocke run. What do you think? And they said, here's what we think." Bam, punching his hand. quote, "We thought they were going to fire us," Yang added. Ellis explained, "They said, we consider this to be on the same level as using a hacked game, ROM hacks. I was like, excuse me? This is the style of playing a game that everybody can buy. There's no hacking." Yang then alleged, quote, there were a lot of creators that played a Nuzlocke style of Pokemon that got erased from their creator program," end quote. The Pokemon Company's brief statement appears to dispute this claim.
Oh my god.
What a weird story. Like, I, you know, again, friends of the show, Kit and Krista, and when they started off, they have their own Patreon now, they have their own show and all that stuff. When they started it, and they, like, one of their first one was like, what's it like, you know, behind the scenes at Nintendo for E3 or some other thing like that or whatever it was. And I was like, damn, Nintendo, another veiled company that really doesn't like people talking for them. I was like, this could get sticky. And here we are as the Pokemon company is arguing publicly with Kit and Krista about Nuzlocke.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's wild. I have to see like some like disgruntled boss doing this and being like, you can't hack the game. What do you, Nuzlocke? That's a hack. Like just losing their mind, feeling like, oh my God, this rule that you can put into the game, this way of playing the game, a speed run. Clearly that's using our IP incorrectly and they should be put in jail. Like it's very funny. I'm just picturing like a very, you know, a besuited person being very upset.
It violates the sacred rules of what we designed with the Pokemon. You know what I mean? And that's the other thing too, of course, is it gets weird of like, who said this? Like whoever they're talking to, right? Like it could be that person's opinion versus what the company's opinion is of this whole thing. Sure. What a goofy thing to stand in the way of, you know, a game of like, I would think it would actually inspire you to replay Pokemon. I put it down. Absolutely. Now that you hear about this for the first time, you're like, oh, that might be fun to do. That'd be a neat way to try it. And you go play more Pokemon.
Yeah, you would think, but my God, just the things you hear sometimes about what it's like behind closed doors is truly next level. We can laugh at it, I suppose. Although I feel bad for them for, you know, proposing a really cool idea and then being shot down in such a dramatic fashion.
Well, I am on twitter.com/KitAndKrista to see if they had any response to this whole thing, right? And 19 hours ago, it's the cat meme with the newspaper, and it says, we should do a Nuzlocke run. So if you like the idea, yeah. Danielle, I have great news. Kit yes. and Krista are about to do it. Everybody get ready. Yeah. You can find them over on, like I said, Kit and Chris on Twitter, and find them on Patreon and do all that stuff. Good folks over there. Danielle, shit, I didn't prep you for this. Have you ever watched the show before? Do you ever watch the show? It's okay to say no.
I have a couple times, yes.
Do you remember what the co-host says here when I do this thing? It's on the thing. It's highlighted. Do you have the script in front of you?
I have the script in front of me. Let me
scroll on down to the highlighted portion.
Oh, my
portion.
God. It's
okay. Okay. No, don't say it. Don't say it. I can't wait to see Kit and Krista do a Nuzlocke run. That'll be a great time. But, Danielle, that content is so far away. If I wanted to know where to go to get the gaming news and the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Just like we rehearsed. Out today, Return to Monkey Island on PC and Switch. There Is No Light on PC. Truck Driver on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X. Hyper Demon is on Steam. And then you have a new date for you, as I already said. But to reiterate, if you're a Play Avengers fan, we are God. Getting an Elite Villain Sector tomorrow. No rest for the wicked. Everybody be ready for it, all right? Deals of the day for you. Ring Fit Adventure on Switch is now only $54.99 at Best Buy. Remember this thing? This took over. Pandemic, it was either are you baking bread, playing Animal Crossing, or trying to get in shape with Ring Fit?
Maybe all three.
Yeah maybe all three. And all three lasted about a week and a half, 2 weeks. You know what I mean? And then we all moved on to just being sad and drinking. But there you go. If you want to get your own Ring Fit Adventure, get in shape before the new studio launches in less than a month. Good Lord. There you go. Go to Best Buy. Danielle, we asked people watching live on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. So go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week. Gabe writes in and says, other notable albums released the same day as the Green Album, May 15th, 2001. Lateralus by Tool, which is definitely where all these people were. That's definitely what everybody was at. So Addictive by Missy Elliott. Reveal by R.E.M. The World Needs a Hero by Megadeth. And the Shrek soundtrack.
Hell yeah. Oh.
It was definitely
somebody
Tool.
Somebody once told me.
It was definitely, because it was Colleen and her boyfriend Steve and a bunch of other people, and they were they listened to Tool for sure. They had that edge to them. They listened to Tool.
But on that day, Tool my friends. Mom was definitely jamming out to the new R.E.M. album.
What was on that? Give me what was the hit single off?
I gotta Reveal? Gotta look it up. What
that's fine.
That
I don't expect you to
reveal.
Yeah, Reveal by R.E.M.
Let's go track listing, all the way up to Reno, Imitation of Life, and I'll Take the Rain are the singles listed off of that album.
Okay.
Not an R.E.M. album I'm familiar with, to be honest. I do know a good amount of R.E.M. though.
The Portland
was it
Kevin
from Missy Elliott was that? What is that the one we think? Or was it Shrek?
That was so addictive.
That everyone was in line for.
Shrek, 100%. Soundtrack absolutely kills it.
Good.
It was a good soundtrack. Shout out to the Smash Mouth. The Portland Kevin writes in with a you're wrong and says, this is one we didn't talk about when we were talking about biggest video game leaks. The Half-Life 2 source code leak in 2004 was a big deal and resulted in a major delay of the game and the eventual arrest of the hacker in Germany. So definitely. And then Anon writes in to correct Danielle. Danielle called Cyberpunk City Midnight City, when in fact it is called Night City.
Same thing.
Pretty good for somebody.
M83, pretty good. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. For somebody who hasn't played the game, you're right in the money. I'm like, yeah, Midnight City was Bandai Namco's indie label they did for a while, right? Wasn't that the one? They published Costume Quest 2. I digress.
Kindoffunny.com.
If you want to get on it and tell me if I got that, I think God damn it. Now it's going to drive me crazy. This is a race to the finish, everybody. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Midnight City was the indie label for what company? Right now I'm saying Bandai Namco, but I don't think that's right. But I need you to find it and tell me, all right? They put out Costume Quest 2.
Was it Devolver?
No, that wouldn't make sense.
Devolver Associated?
No. But it's like Majesco? Was it Majesco? It might have been Majesco.
It might have been Majesco.
Fuck, that's going to drive me crazy. I hope I got it right. Everybody's just talking about Midnight City as a song. They're not like...
It's a great song. It's a great song. It's in my head right now.
Wait,
running around.
You're saying they did Costume Quest?
Two. They published Costume Quest 2. Nanobiologist says it was Majesco. It was Majesco.
It was Majesco. Okay, awesome.
Thank you for getting my back. I'm sorry I didn't know.
That's cool.
Never a good sign when you inhale and you smell smoke.
Oh, no.
But it smells like firewood smoke, not like
good,
the house is
good
burning smoke, down.
Good smoke, not like, oh, shit.
Like campfire smoke. But, you know, just to be safe, we'll slack in. Here's the thing, Greg, is that your house
made of wood?
Good point. But I think our neighbor smokes. I know our neighbor smokes a lot of meat, so it might be that too. I wonder. Jen, do you smell smoke?
And if it is the neighbor smoking meats, ask him what kind of meat they're smoking today.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have him on Slack.
Oh,
unfortunate. Get on that.
Neighborhood Slack, baby.
I don't want to do that. ladies and gentlemen, like I said. A whole bunch of people got laid off recently in games media. That means it's co-host week here on Kinda Funny Games Daily. Of course, Danielle's here right now, and you should support her. But tomorrow it's going to be me and Nikki Grayson, formerly of Fanbyte. Wednesday it's going to be me and Jennifer Locke, formerly of Android Central. Thursday it'll be me and Funke Joseph, formerly of Fanbyte. No, I'm sorry, I screwed that up. Thursday, Blessing and Funke Joseph, formerly of Fanbyte. Friday, Blessing and Carly Velosi, formerly of Windows Central. Support all these people. Make sure you get out there and do that. Danielle, where can everybody keep supporting you?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. Twitter is probably the best one. Danielle, RIDANIELLERI. Right there. That's Finn right there when she was a little younger in that pinned tweet right there. Yeah,
there she is.
That's my little girl right there. Yep. She's pretty good. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it so, so much. Hire Fanbyte. Hashtag hire Fanbyte. Got a little hashtag going on for all our very good folks. So yeah,
I appreciate that. I will. Roger, if you're watching this, give me a sign, and then all the kind of funny tweets you use hashtag fire. Sorry, that already happened. Hire Fanbyte. We should do that on all the ones today. Make sure we know that, Roger. I assume you're hearing this into the world. Okay, great. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show on Patreon.com/KindofFunnyGames. Over there, you can write in to be part of the show. You, of course, could be a Patreon producer. You could get the show ad free. You get it with the post show. We're about to do where Danielle's going to tell us her video game history. Of course, you can get these benefits for Gamescast, Xcast, PS I Love You. You can watch us record on Wednesday our re-review of God of War live before anybody. And yes, I'll be pulling from the comments on that private stream. So that's a great way to be on the show as well. However, no bucks tossed our way, no big deal. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames for us to watch it live, to watch it later, and then later on, it's confusing. We used to have the Twitch thing for live, and now we're doing this experiment with YouTube, so it's weird to say YouTube.com, KindaFunnyGames for us. I'll get there. I'll figure it out. I'll come up with a better rigmarole.
I believe in you.
Anyways, YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames, RoosterTeeth.com, podcast services around the globe. For now, Danielle and I got to keep talking on Patreon. Oh, and If you're watching live right now, of course, go to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames where Mike and Andy are doing episode 2 of KFFL. That's right. The Kind of Funny Football League is going as the SF 49ers take on somebody else. And remember that all of you are in there and all of us are the 49ers. And then he pulled in a bunch of people and it's crazy over there and it's a lot of fun. And it's a really good time, even if you don't like football, because Mike and Andy get to just commentate on football like we did on wrestling. And it's a great time. And if you want to see it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. That's enough promotion for now. We're going to go talk to Danielle. But until next time. It's been our pleasure to serve you.